is Shaylin Hudson. I make candles for Scene Creations, and the price is anywhere from $3 to $8. If you'd like to contact me about purchasing any, you could call me at 907-401-1095.
You have a Facebook page? No? Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Horror After Hours. Coming to you from the Naughty Guy Studio, I'm your host, the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Joining me tonight for another fun conversation is Bruce of Swatting Flies and Telling Lies.
What up?
So tonight, we're going to be talking about some upcoming horror movies, and there are several types, or several sites, to go to about finding which movies are coming in the near future. One of the main ones being upcominghorrormovies.com. I believe this is one of the best sites to look at. Gives you all the details of all the movies that you're looking for. One of these titles for me is The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. But we're going to get to that one in a bit.
Or just come to Adam's podcast for your horror update news.
There you go. So once a month, I'm going to do an update on horror movie news. And that's going to be from everything that I can round up from all the various sites out there for, you know, anything horror, really. So one of the movies that's being talked about on these sites is Monster Hunter, which has just recently come out. That stars Mila Jovovich and Ron Perlman. And I watched this one last night. It was actually really good.
Cool.
Good action movie. A lot of fun. And it's based on the video game of Monster Hunter. So the synopsis goes, behind our world, there is another. A world of dangerous and powerful monsters that rule their domain with deadly ferocity. When an unexpected sandstorm transports Lieutenant Artemis, played by Mila Jovovich, and her unit to a new world, the soldiers are shocked to discover that this hostile and unknown environment is home to enormous and terrifying monsters immune to their firepower. In their desperate battle for survival, the unit encounters the mysterious Hunter, and I can't even pronounce his name, but whose unique skills allow him to stay one step ahead of the powerful creatures. As Artemis and Hunter slowly build trust, she discovers that he is part of a team led by the Admiral, Ron Perlman. Facing a danger so great it could threaten to destroy their world, the brave warriors combine their unique abilities and band together for an ultimate showdown. Now, like I said, I watched this movie. It is a lot of fun. It's very action-packed. If you haven't seen it, check it out. You might like this one.
Yeah, I saw trailers for it leading up to its release, so...
Yeah. No, this looked like a good one, man. I mean, before I watched it, I was like, man, I really got to see this. Mm-hmm. It looked really cool.
What category does it fall under?
Wow. Kind of a sci-fi...
Like, is it... For your listeners, would you put this in the Godzilla category type?
It's something similar. It's, you know, a lot of the same thing. The giant monsters, the
attacks. Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, for people that aren't going to be, they're just like, hey, man, I'm going to Adam for my news, you know, and then it's like, oh, I don't, well, what's this Monster Hunters about? Well, it's in the same vein as Godzilla or King Kong, right?
Yeah, it's very similar and a lot of fun to watch.
Gotcha.
So,
like I said, I've only seen the previews for it. I with my new job, I have a weird schedule, so I got very limited time to be watching stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
So I kind of just have to pick and choose what I can watch, either right before work or by the time I get home from work. By the time I get home from work, it's about 10 p.m., so it's kind of hard to...
To focus on anything, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then I'm just like, ah. Oh. I can't start a movie because most movies are running 2 hours now.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
Some of them are 2.5 hours, which I blame Marvel, even though I love Marvel, but it's like, okay, not everything has to be two and a half hours, you know what I'm saying? So I leave it on SportsCenter and I come home and go to Twitter and search for news, just whatever I missed that day. But yeah, no, I've seen this trailer a few times. Didn't really get the gist of it from the trailers, you know?
Yeah, and I played the game. The game is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to Skyrim in a way where you kill the creatures and you can round up different items to build your armor, build your weapons, and, you know, improve everything as the game progresses. Nice. And it's a lot of fun. It's very addictive.
Yeah.
And they show a lot of that in the movie, which is really cool.
They even go first person on you?
Not first person, but, you know, they do some really cool stuff in this movie.
So let's talk about movies that were adapted from video games.
You had Resident Evil, also starring Mila Jovovich.
Which, yeah, that's where I was going to tie the thread into that. Which, I enjoyed the first Resident Evil movie. I can't speak for the other ones, but I enjoyed the first one.
No, I agree with you. I love the first one. Mm-hmm. It didn't really follow anything that the game had put together.
No.
I mean, the storyline was completely changed.
Yeah.
They brought in this new character named Alice, played by Jovovich.
Yeah.
And to me, it didn't make any sense. But I still enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. Let's go back to, what's the first video game movie that you remember being made?
Oh, geez, what was it?
High school.
Street Fighter?
Nope. Go back.
Mortal Kombat?
Nope. Go back.
What else was there?
You're missing, like, the biggest video game of all time being turned into a flop. Wow. John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopkins.
I'm at a loss here. What is it?
The guy from, what the hell is his name? Anyway, Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, shit. That was 95, right?
Nope. 93.
Okay.
So, kind of do a quick rewind on these types of movies. That's, I mean, I can't think of any other video games up until Super Mario Brothers being made into a movie because that game was so huge.
Yeah.
Now, so let's go from there. I'm sure there might be some before that, but you got Super Mario Brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
93-ish. Then you go to 94. And then you start, I remember reading in the magazines like, hey man, they're going to make a Double Dragon movie. Hey, man, oh, yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme got cast as Guile. Holy shit, Jean-Claude Van Damme got cast as Guile.
Yeah, Street Fighter, yep.
Raul Julia's, fuck, wait, he can't be Imp Bison, he's not big enough. So, there's that, and then there's Mortal Kombat, which came out in 95.
Okay.
Which, if you remember, the summer of 95, John Sanford played that fucking soundtrack while we were painting the whole summer.
Over and over.
Oh, I got tired of hearing Mortal Kombat! And then you hear techno shit. But then you go a little bit more forward, and then like in the early 2000s, they made a Final Fantasy game into a movie. That's out in 2001, like the something world or whatever.
Yeah.
The
Spirit Within or something.
Spirit Within, that's it. And then you go forward not much further, then you get Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Doom, which sucked.
Yeah, well, the first movie, it was okay. It wasn't great.
I'm going to tell you guys it sucked. And then there's been so many others. Silent Hill was made into a movie, right?
And I really struggled to watch that one because...
That's fucking saying a lot if you're saying you struggled. I didn't even give it a chance.
It was okay. It was... Mm-hmm. Kind of hard to follow because at the end you're just left wondering, okay, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And then they roll the credits and no explanation.
Yeah, so, and then you go even more, then we get one more fucking Resident Evil movie, right? And then let's go back 3 years and we get Rampage the movie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Rampage.
Didn't even waste my time watching that.
That one was funny, but.
Yeah, but there's just all these.
Video games.
I'm trying to think of the biggest video game movie of all time that was successful, and I can't even think of it right now. Like, I'm not telling you guys, like, no, it's a success because me and Adam like it. No, I'm just talking about the general public was like, okay, this movie was badass, and it was a video game first. Like, I can't even think of that right now.
No, I can remember the popularity of the movie, the first movie of Mortal Kombat.
Well, it didn't do good. And I'm talking like blockbuster here too. I'm not saying like, hey man, this was a cult classic because a lot of people look back and be like, well, you didn't go to it in the theater. You probably rented it, which is how I ended up having to watch it.
That was how I did. I
mean, yeah.
That's how it was on the small island.
Yeah. So no, what I'm talking is like, and it doesn't have to be like this Marvel type fucking thing. I'm talking like, 200-300 million, you know. So like I said, that's just, you know, I'm sure there's more video games out there, but I just wanted to tie that thread into that.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I mean, there's not a lot of success behind a lot of these movies, but, you know, some of them are really fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, moving on, we have other news, and I'm excited about this one. Bruce Campbell has recently confirmed that Evil Dead Rise will begin filming in New Zealand later this year.
Okay, so here's my issue with that.
Campbell will be producing.
Is Raimi tied to it anyway?
I believe he is, yeah.
Okay, so when Ash vs. the Evil Dead ended... Now, I get it, man. I've done this before. Fuck you, I'm done. I'm done with your ass. He didn't say that, but he said it in a nice way. He said he's hanging it up. There's not going to be any more Ash-related anything.
Yep.
Now there's this. I was like, dude, okay. What happened?
Yeah. Well, when they decided to end the show, they said, well, depending on the outcry, mm-hmm. we might make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were being teases like, oh, come on, rub us a little bit and we'll give you some.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be the genie in the lamp.
Kiss me on my neck a little and I'll drop panties. Yeah. Bruce Campbell, you fuck.
No, I'm excited to see this. I'm a huge Evil Dead fan.
Yeah, which 2 days ago was the anniversary of Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
Yep, and I love that one. That one was so funny.
Of the release is what I should say.
Yeah.
That one we reviewed, I believe, on yours, right? And that one ended up just being...
Well, we kind of grouped it all together with all the Evil Dead movies.
So Evil Dead 2, more or less, was like, hey, man, we got money now. We could probably afford a little bit better actors. This is what Evil Dead would have been mm-hmm. if we had the money and we could pay the actors.
Plus the special effects.
Yeah, so my favorite one is Army of Darkness.
I can't argue with you there.
But I enjoy them all.
I love them all. So, I enjoyed the show, and I'm really looking forward to Evil Dead Rise now.
I'm hoping by the time it gets released that it's not just strictly video on demand. I hope it could be a theatrical release.
Same here.
And that's something I would like to go back and watch.
Now, did you know that The Evil Dead actually had a video game?
Yeah.
On PS1?
Yeah.
That was Evil Dead Hail to the King.
Yeah.
And I had that one when it came out, and I fucking loved it.
That's awesome.
Holy cow.
So.
They had all of his mannerisms and his little one-liners.
Oh, good.
Hail to the king, baby.
Yeah. So, with that being said, in 1997, 98, I bought a video game called The Crow City of Angels.
Ah, yes.
Whew. Like the movie, I was pretty disappointed. I was excited for a Crow game. But then I was just like, oh no.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm trying to think of like other, like what movie franchises eventually went to a video game that you liked besides that one?
Because
usually it's the reverse, like which we just talked about. It's usually, hey, this popular video game we're going to bring over.
Yep.
Hey man, this awesome movie, this Evil Dead thing that people love, we're going to make it a video game. It hardly ever goes that route.
Yeah. The popularity of the Evil Dead.
I could tell you one other time that it did, and it was in 1995, and I believe they actually used the actors who played these characters. Now, it was a video game, turned into a movie, turned into blank, the game, the movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Hadouken.
Oh, okay. That was Street Fighter.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't available on all platforms. It was on, like, Sega Disc ROM or Neo Geo or some shit like that. But it was, like, the actual fucking actors, I believe, were doing the fights. It's fucking sucked. It tainted the franchise for a while for me.
Yeah, it was pretty hard to watch.
But, yeah, so it's just weird that it goes from the movie to the game, you know? You hardly ever see that.
Yeah, it happens once in a blue moon.
Yeah, so anyways, go ahead.
So next we got Predator 5. This one's going to be called Skulls. It's going into pre-production now and should begin filming in May. I will give an update on this one as the news becomes available.
Now, I've heard a different things on this one. I heard one that they're going to be going back in time. Like, it's going to be like this prequel with the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be Native American based.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah. That was one of the last rumors I read when I was online on Twitter getting it from Fangoria. So
very cool. There you have it, folks.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got the Resident Evil franchise. We'll be getting an animated TV show treatment.
Hmm.
The show will be called Resident Evil Infinite Darkness. And it should be out on Netflix sometime later this year. Said to be taking place after the events of the Resident Evil 4 video game. Hmm. So this ought to be interesting as well.
And did they name any of the voice actors yet?
Not that I saw.
Hmm. Probably just in the early stages then, huh?
I think so, but it's going to be an animated movie, so it shouldn't be too bad.
What kind of animation are you hoping for? Because some people like Japanimation, which I do not because it's too overdramatic, and then it's too just like every fucking thing's intensified, and I just don't like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think what they're going to do with this one is going to be like the three animated movies they've already done.
Okay.
So I think they're going to continue with that kind of animation, which is all CGI, which some...
Hit or miss...
No, sometimes I don't mind CGI. When it's something like this,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can do all these special effects with the creatures and the weapons and just make a fun movie out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't want to see, in a live-action movie, to see nothing but CGI with a creature.
Yeah.
That just ruins it for me. I want to see practical effects. I don't care if it looks like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see practical effects, which I'll get into that here shortly.
Yeah. Okay, I'll wait to jump in on that then because I have some thoughts.
Okay, cool. So next, we got a movie called The Unholy. This is pitting itself against the March 31st release of Godzilla vs. King Kong. Sony is set to unleash the religious horror movie on Easter Sunday, April 2nd, based on the horror novel Shrine by James Herbert. The Unholy stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan, your Negan, Carrie Elways, and William Sadler. A quick synopsis says, a hearing-impaired girl is visited by the Virgin Mary and can suddenly hear, speak, and heal the sick. As people flock to witness her miracles, terrifying events unfold. Are they the work of the Virgin Mary or of something much more sinister?
I got a bigger question.
Sure.
Are they going to put in Kiss's song, Unholy?
That would be awesome.
Yes.
If they run that at the beginning of the credits, I mean, in the opening of the movie.
Like, yeah.
That would be awesome, man. I love that song.
Yeah, so do I. You got my attention with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Carrie Elwes, so.
Yeah. So this.
I'm intrigued.
And it's obviously a possession type movie.
Okay.
So I love those movies.
Yeah.
Mainly The Conjuring, that universe for me is just out of this world. It's awesome. I love it.
I'd say it's hit or miss for me, but I could openly tell you that I've really only cared for The Exorcist and Repossessed.
Yeah, you gotta love Repossessed. We gotta do a deep dive on that one.
Yeah.
So we should do, at some point, do Exorcist and Repossessed.
Because that's what it's...
It's really just knocking on that.
Well, it's Linda Blair.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's called Repossessed.
And it was a hilarious movie. Kind of hard to find nowadays, but you know,
yeah.
It is so much fun to watch. So moving on, we have a movie called Walpurgis Night. Now, this one really sounds interesting to me. I love werewolves, and... This one promises to bring back the gore and the practical effects.
Rawr.
This, like I said, is called... This is called Walpurgis Night.
Okay, now...
That was awesome.
You got a synopsis? Do you want me to wait?
No, go ahead.
So, what are you looking for? I look to you when it comes to the werewolf stuff, because I know what I like, but... You are way more in the weeds than I am when it comes to, like, you love Dog Soldiers.
Dog Soldiers was phenomenal. I love that one.
So, I like, okay, I always like American Werewolf in London. That was a painful transformation.
Yes.
Which me and you discussed, and we also discussed on my podcast the painful transformation that the werewolf had on the Monster Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at the comedic turn that Teen Wolf had. It wasn't painful, but he was freaking out, and it was played off to be funny.
Yeah.
And then we discussed the Wes Craven 05.
Cursed.
Cursed. Ugh. Which was bad because they integrated the werewolf talks normally. Yeah.
And everything was really good up until that point. I mean, the werewolf was CGI. There was a lot of CGI in that one. But I liked it all the way up until I heard the werewolf start talking. I was like, fuck, they fucked it up.
No. So, like, if this is gonna... If this is... Let's say they were like, hey, man, this is a guy, Adam Hudson, and he fucking loves it, so we're gonna do with what Adam loves. What do you want? What are you looking for in a werewolf movie that's gonna be like, oh, you got me. You got me right now. Do you want CGI? Do you want practical effects? Do you want up close on the face while he's changing? Do you want a wider scope version of him fucking his body changing like it did in American Werewolf in London? What exactly are you, like, what are you hoping for in this movie?
So, you know, you touched on it right there. American Werewolf in London.
Mm-hmm.
Dog Soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the best werewolf movies I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I love the transformation on American Werewolf.
Yeah.
And I love the werewolves on Dog Soldiers.
Okay.
Two that you've never seen again. I mean, the werewolf in American Werewolf was awesome.
Okay.
Now, if they go that route, I'm happy. I mean, that was all practical effects. There was no CGI.
Okay.
That's what I loved about Dog Soldiers. It was no CGI. It was all practical.
Okay.
So you get to see all the close-up transformations, the gore and everything. It's all happening on screen, not on a computer.
Okay.
I dig that.
Oh, okay.
That's what really draws it in for me.
So whenever... Okay. Well, that's good to know, man.
So for While Purges Night, the synopsis goes as follows. A wealthy couple... I can't remember how to pronounce that name, but it looks like Imer and Justine are visiting the deep forest of Romania and find themselves at the mercy of Waldemar Daninsky, the werewolf. The wolf terrorizes the countryside, killing anyone in its path. But Waldemar desperately seeks a cure to his lycanthropy. After a horrific tragedy strikes, Waldemar and Justine travel to London to seek the help of Dr. Jekyll's grandson. But when the full moon rises, the werewolf is on the loose in London. Justine and Jekyll must quickly find a way to end this horrible curse. Now, again, they say that there will not be any CGI in this film, which I'm totally digging. All of the effects will be practical, and this just sounds awesome. I'm totally in.
Okay.
I cannot wait to see this one, but no release date has been set yet. So I will continue to update on this as it becomes available. Now, moving on. This is the one I think I'm most excited to see.
Okay.
This is The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. We will see Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga reprise their roles as Ed and Lorraine Warren, being the eighth film in the Conjuring universe. The Devil Made Me Do It reveals a chilling story of terror, murder, and unknown evil that shocked even experienced real-life paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren. This is one of the most sensational cases from their files. It starts with a fight for the soul of a young boy, then takes them beyond anything they'd ever seen before. To mark the first time in U.S. history that a murder suspect would claim demonic possession as a defense. Now, The Conjuring 3 is scheduled to be released on June 4th of this year, and you will be able to see it on HBO Max.
Wow. So you gotta be really happy about that, then.
Oh, man, I'm a big fan of the Conjuring movies nice. And The Conjuring universe, as I grew up watching documentaries and reading books on Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Oh, okay.
So, they have another one, which is actually a story of a real-life werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but that story was incredible.
Nice.
And I'm hoping that that'll be the next movie. Because when they started talking about The Conjuring 3,
yeah,
they talked about that story. And now they've changed the story to a different case, which I'm cool with this too.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see this. But I'm really looking forward to hopefully them doing a number 4.
Nice. You know what a number 4 is?
No.
It's when you're taking a shit and you hold hands with someone else taking a shit.
That's horrible.
As good a place as any to end this up.
I think that's all we have for you tonight, folks.
Sorry, shit just comes to my head, man.
All right. A huge shout out to all of our friends, family, and our loyal listeners. Wherever you are, we thank you. Keep listening and stay safe out there. Tune in next week as I dive into another haunted house classic. This will be 1978's The Evil. That being said, I am your host, the naughty guy Adam J., and this is Horror After Hours, signing off. Good night, everyone.